भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. So we're continuing our reading from the ninth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ninth chapter of the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Today's text should be 39, right? Naitan manas tava kathasu vikuntanata sampriyate duritadushtam asadhu tivram kamaturam harsha shoka payaishanartam tasmin patam tava gatim vimrishami dinaha naitan manas tava kata suvikuntanata sampriyate durita dushtam asadu tivram kama turang harsha shoka bayashanartam tasmin katang tavagatim vimrishami dinaha naitan madastavakatasu vikuntanata sampriyate durita dushtam asadu tivram kama turang harsha shoka bayashanartam tasmin katang tavagatim vimrishami dinaha naitan manastavakatasu vikuntanata sampriyate durita dushtam asadu tivram kama turang harsha shoka bayashanartam tasmin katang tavagatim vimrishami dina. Please chant. Min katam tavagatim vimrishami dinaha. Tasmin katam tavagatim vimrishami dinaha. Vaishnavis?
Thank you.
Okay, and board meetings? Nah. Certainly not. Etat, vis, manaha, mind, tava, your. Katasu, in transcendental topics. Vikuntanata, O Lord of Vaikuntha, where there is no anxiety. Sampriyate, is pacified or interested in. Durita, by sinful activities. Dushtam, polluted. Asadu, dishonest. Tivram, very difficult to control. Kama aturam, always full of different desires and lusty propensities. Harshashoka, sometimes by jubilation and sometimes by distress. Bhaya, and sometimes by fear. Eshana, and by desiring. Artam, distressed. Tasmin, in that mental status. Gatam, how? Tava, your. Gatim, transcendental activities. Vimrishami, I shall consider and try to understand. Dinaha, who am most fallen and poor. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus, it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? Please repeat. My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? Srila Prabhupada's purport. Here, Prahlad Maharaj represents himself as a common man, although he actually has nothing to do with this material world. Prahlad is always situated in the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual world. But on behalf of the fallen souls, he asks how, when his mind is always disturbed by material things, he can discuss the transcendental position of the Lord. The mind becomes sinful because we are always engaged in sinful activities. Anything not connected with Krishna consciousness should be understood to be sinful. It's a very powerful statement, worth repeating. Anything not connected with Krishna consciousness should be understood to be sinful. Indeed, Krishna demands in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 66, Sarvadharmam Pratyaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarvapapebhyo Mokshayishyami Ma Shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. As soon as one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna immediately relieves one of the reactions of sinful activities. Therefore, one who is not surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord should be understood to be sinful, foolish, degraded among men, and bereft of all real knowledge because of atheistic propensities. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 15. Namam duskrutino mudha prapadyante naradamaha maya paritagyana asurang bhavam ashritaha. Therefore, especially in this age of Kali, the mind must be cleansed And this is possible only by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. In this age, the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only method by which to cleanse the sinful mind. When the mind is completely cleansed of all sinful reactions, one can then understand his duty in the human form of life. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to educate sinful men so that they may become pious simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. To cleanse the heart so that one may become sober and wise in this age of Kali, there is no value to any method other than the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Prahlad Maharaj has confirmed this process in previous verses. Tadvira Gayana Mahamrit Magna Chitta. That was from earlier in the 9th chapter, text 43. Prahlad Maharaj further confirms that if one's mind is always absorbed in thought of Krishna, that very qualification will purify one and keep one purified always. To understand the Lord and His activities, one must free his mind from all contamination of the material world, and this one can achieve by simply chanting the Lord's holy name. Thus, one becomes free from all material bondage. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paschacha Deshtarne Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtang Shapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vatam Tang Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vatang Shah Hey Krishna Karina Sindhu Dhina Bandho Jagatpate Gopeshika Pika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpa tarubhya shakri pasindubhya evacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaisarebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shedvaita Gadadhar Svasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here Prahlad is not assuming a humble mood. The devotee is by nature humble. Those who are pure devotees means they're purely humble. It's not, their humility is not driven by false ego, as sometimes happens in the material and conditioned state. Somebody pretends to be humble. Oh, I'm so this, I'm so that. Once some devotee said that to Prabhupada. Oh, I'm the most fallen Prabhupada. See, not the most anything. Because our tendency is that we want to be elevated even when we're trying to be humble. We always want to take some position. So if I can't be the highest, if I can't be God, then let me present myself as being the most fallen, the lowest. Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. Just be a regular guy, regular girl, okay? Don't try to be the most of anything. So Prahlad, his humility is not like that. It's heartfelt. Just like Kaviraj Goswami presents himself as being lower than the worm and stool. It's not just some words to make us think that he's humble. He actually feels like that. So the pure devotees, they feel like that. But Prahlad, as we know, he's the Vaikuntha person. He's not of this material world, as Prabhupada said in the purport. He's very bold preacher, as only a pure devotee can be, totally oblivious to and not concerned about any material reactions to anything that he's saying or doing. He's earlier proved that by he's speaking to the biggest demon that ever lived, his father, Hiranyakashipu, and he was completely fearless. Not only the Prabhupada said, he never called him father, he called him best of the Asuras, right? Asuryavara, he said. That's Adamani Asuryavara Dehinam. Said Asamudvigna Dhyam Asagrihat. He called his father Asuryavara best, but he also called him a fool. There was that verse in the 8th chapter where he said, in former times, fools like you who failed to control their 6 enemies, namely the uncontrolled mind, to conquer their 6 enemies, the uncontrolled mind and the 5 senses, they thought themselves to be conquerors of all 10 directions. He said, literally to his face, called him a fool. Can you imagine? You'd hesitate to do that even to an ordinary person, what to speak of the biggest demon ever. But he was so bold. He called him a fool. He said, fools like you, who fail to control their minds and senses, they think themselves to be conquerors of all 10 directions. But he said, but one who has conquered the 6 enemies, namely the uncontrolled mind and the senses, and who is equipoised towards all living entities, actually understands that he has no enemies. He has no enemies in this world. But only a person who's on that platform can see like that. Otherwise, if you're not, have not controlled the mind and the senses, then you keep thinking in terms of friends and enemies. Here's my friend, Bhaktivatsala, and here's my enemy, somebody else. No, they're all friends. Just turn off the volume on the side, and then you won't hear anything. So Prahlad was fearless, completely fearless, understanding totally the material situation. So here, Prahlad's prayers are a scientific presentation of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and we should dive into them in that mood. Whatever we hear in the cyclic succession is as good as hearing from Krishna himself. Prabhupada made that point many times, that there's no use of hearing this philosophy outside of the cyclic succession, right? Sampradayavahiname mantraste nishpalaspriham. Any mantra that you get outside of the sampradaya is useless. It's useless. It has to come down in sampradaya. So we are hearing in sampradaya. We're very fortunate to be connected to a bona fide sampradaya. Prahlad was definitely connected, actually, to the same sampradaya, because he heard from Narada. Narada heard from Brahma, and Brahma heard from Lord Vishnu directly in his heart, within his heart. Prahlad was also touched on the head by Lord Nrsingadeva. So either way you take it, we're hearing directly from Lord Nrsingadeva. We're hearing directly from Krishna when we hear from Prahlad. So what is this point that Prahlad is making today? So his statement today is, let's go back and look at it. First of all, he's addressing the Lord as the Lord of Vaikuntha, where there is no anxiety, which is pointing us in the direction that we should be going in, rather than remaining attached to this Kunta planet that we're living on, always trying to put out fires, literally and figuratively. Literally, we know California is ablaze, Southern California. Just north of us, fires are raging. Came all the way down to the PCH. I had to close PCH for some time. And this is the nature of the material world. Even when you don't want to, nobody wants these fires in the wilderness. Nobody wants them. But just by the action of the wind and the heat and the friction, fire ignites. And then it becomes a very, very difficult job to put it out. So similarly, in general, this material world is ablaze due to these enemies, the uncontrolled mind and the 5 senses. Because people have no control over their minds, then they think crazy thoughts and they act on them. When Brigapati gave class, we were discussing this. So can we blame God? Can we blame God? If you say that everything is under God's control, even your thoughts, was the son of Sam right? I asked him. Because the son of Sam, notorious killer, he said, God told me to do it. So yes and no. Out of our own volition, we come into this material world, and then we become caught up, bound up by the 3 modes of material, different varieties, variations of those combinations of the 3 modes. And an example I like to use is like tuning in to a particular radio station. That's your choice. You tune into that, particular radio station. Let's say you tune into the heavy metal station. You're not going to hear any classical music. But you chose that. You chose that. So you can't blame somebody else later on. I haven't heard any classical music in years. Hey, you tune into that heavy metal station. And that's all you're going to hear. That's all you're going to hear. So when you choose, by your own activities, the particular mode of nature that you're tuning into, goodness, passion, or ignorance, then you can't blame anybody else. And when you tune into the mode of ignorance in particular, you're going to hear all these bad thoughts. Do some horrible thing. But you voluntarily put yourself in that situation. So yes, the modes of nature are under God's control, under Krishna's control. But he's not interfering with your minute independence. He's given you that minute independence. He's given you also an instruction how you can get out of it. Like here Prahlad is talking about the six enemies, the uncontrolled mind and the five senses. So an intelligent person understand that they're being burned by lust, which transforms into anger. Arjuna asked that question, Atakena Paryuktoyam. How is it, what is it that impels a person to act sinfully, even against his will? Kama Esha Krodesha, Raja Guna Samudbhava. So Prabhupada explains in that purport that when the living entity comes in contact with the material creation, his natural love for God transforms into lust. That's what happens. We naturally have love for Krishna. But because we have chosen to come in contact with Krishna's material creation, which consists of the three modes, then that natural love is transformed into lust. And that lust, when it's unsatiated, transforms into wrath, into anger. We see the whole world is burning up based on anger. Anger is fueling people's activities. Like those two boys from Russia, they came to America, and due to anger, against real or imagined enemies, they went out and did the horrible crime of setting those bombs off during the marathon. So can you blame God? No. No. They tuned into that particular jihadist radio station that gave them the idea to go out and do this. That was their choice. Previously, they were normal guys. One wanted to be a boxer representing the United States. The other one was in college. Regular guys. But they tuned into the wrong station. And therefore, they got the wrong suggestions. And they acted on the wrong. But that was their choice. So you can't blame Krishna for that. By our own choice, we tune into the wrong station. Somebody's tuning into the classical station and feeling good all day, hearing violins playing. But that's also ultimately not good. Because if that's all you desire in life is to hear violins play, then you have to come back again. But if you tune into the Vaikuntha station, to the Goloka station, then you'll develop a desire to hear Krishna's flute, not just some violin or cello or something like that. So that's what Prahlad is trying to tell us here, that your mind is, because your mind is in control and your senses are in control, you become lusty, and then you're sometimes happy, sometimes distressed, you're full of lamentation and fear, and always seeking more and more money. Money, money, money. Because we feel that with money we can buy happiness, we can control things, we can. But it's ultimately not the case. That money that we get is just for a short time under our control. And as I was telling college students, I spoke at USC last week, that you can have all the money in the world, but it doesn't mean that you can eat more than the next person. You're still going to eat two pieces of toast and a cup of tea, as Sura likes to say all the time. And it's not that because you have billions of dollars, you need, 20,000 acres to sleep in. You still just need 6 feet, 12 square feet, 2 feet by 6 feet. That's all you need to sleep in. So having tons and tons of money, if it's not used in Krishna service, actually becomes a burden that drags you down, as was stated earlier in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, when the mind becomes polluted like this, Prahlad is saying, polluted by lusty desires and always wanting just more and more money for sense gratification, then the bottom line becomes that never satisfied in topics concerning you. So this is our barometer of where we are. How satisfied are we in hearing topics about Krishna? Or do we always want to hear something else? Politics and so-called science and this and that. If this is what we chase after all the time, we can judge ourselves. Where does your mind go? Does the mind always want to come back to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat? Today is the disappearance of Vrindavan Das Thakur. His mother, Narayani, was the niece of Shiva Thakur. So, direct connection to Lord Chaitanya. He was considered to be a disciple of Lord Nityananda. He appeared in the village of Mamgachi, which you passed through if you went on did the full Navadvip Dham Parikrama. You definitely went to Mamgachi. So that's where he appeared. And he's considered literally and figuratively to be Vyas. He was literally Vyasadeva in Krishna Leela. And he's also considered to be the Vyas of Chaitanya Leela because he wrote extensively about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So does our mind race to Chaitanya Bhagavat? Which is such a sweet literature. I remember the first time I read Adikanda, the Chaitanya Bhagavat, literally my hair was standing on end. It was just like amazing, amazing. The way Vrindavan Das Thakur has written that book. So where does our mind go? Do we allow our minds to rest on these topics or do we allow it to race after all the mundane topics out there? This is our barometer, our test of ourselves. And this is what Sukadeva Goswami says is the difference between a Grihastha and a Grihamedi. A Grihamedi is one who has thousands of topics that they're interested in. Politics and dance and this and that and everything not connected to Krishna. Thousands and thousands of things. And therefore, they become simply centered on the family and sense gratification. They have no time. Yeah, and we experience all the time. The book distributors especially hear it all the time. Excuse me, sir. I have no time. What is it you have time for? Running after money. That's it. Divacharteha Rajan, Kutumba Baranenava. During the daytime, they're simply chasing after money, 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 money. And what do they do with that money? Simply to maintain the family. And as we heard, I think it was Suru mentioned, that the family just wants you to die. No, it was Badri who told that story. Badri Narayan Prabhu told that story. When the man was in a coma, one of our members, family members were just waiting for him to die. So when he came out of the coma to their chagrin, they didn't realize he was hearing while he was in the coma. He disinherited the rascal kids and just wanted to be a devotee. So, this is the state of accumulating money. If you accumulate money and use it in Christian service, that's wonderful. But if you simply accumulate money to use for the family members, they're not going to appreciate. They're not going to appreciate. And you never leave enough. We see there's so many cases of big, big billionaires. Many times over, they die. And the family members fight. And the lawyers get most of it because they can't be satisfied with, 15% of billions. No, I want 50% of the billions. So they go to court and fight, and gradually the lawyers suck all the money out of them. So there's no satisfaction in terms of money in this world. We should know that. So whatever money we get, use it wisely in Krishna service. So today we're also going to have the Shraddha ceremony for Keshava Prabhu. Last night I was in my office a little late and Madhudvisa Prabhu happened to be going by, so we had an impromptu remembrance how Carrie and Kelly became Karandar and Keshava, and they're very prominent devotees in the early days of the Krishna consciousness movement. So obviously those who knew them, or knew, in this case, Keshava Prabhu in particular, will come for the memorial this afternoon. I think it starts at 1 o'clock with the Fire Yoga Shraddha ceremony, and then at 2 o'clock there will be a video presentation of remembrances of Keshava. And then after that there will be time for devotees to speak, and then at 5 o'clock there will be the feast. So, especially the younger devotees, it's important for you to know the history of ISKCON. And Keshava Prabhu was a prominent member of the... I didn't know him so well because by the time I came to LA in 75. I had joined in New York in 73 and they moved. ISKCON Press became BBT, so we came here in 75. So he joined here in LA, but I went to San Francisco area. So I knew Karandar better because Karandar stayed here in LA, but didn't know Keshava that well. But still, we should come and see the video and hear remembrances of Keshava again. Gradually, one by one, all its proper disciples are disappearing. I always tell the young devotees, be patient. You don't have to try to kick us out of the way. Naturally, we're going to pass on and everything will be handed over to you. Sometimes the younger devotees become a little itchy. So many proper disciples, they're always in front of me. I want to be in front. Don't worry, your turn will come. Your turn will definitely come. Okay, we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Rigapati Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. This may have already been covered in a previous class, but I've missed a lot of classes being out of town. Is it understood that these pastimes take place here on Earth, or where did they take place?
Seems to be a combination. Seems to be a combination of heavenly realm and on the Earth. Because here on Earth, there are definitely little spots that are considered to be part of this pastime. The place where Lord Shrigadev washed up after killing Aranyakashipu. I mean, we visit that also. There are many places that are associated with the pastime. But then, based on statements of in the Bhagavatam, apparently some of this goes on the heavenly realm also. So, I don't know exactly which. All we know is the ones that are mentioned as places where Lord Shrigadev engaged. Yes, Acharya Narottam, you have something on that?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your wonderful class. So, since that the qualification for calling to somebody fool or rascal is like to be a pure devotee, you know, you see Prabhupada calling, you know, scientists or rascal, foolish Prahlada Maharaj, pure devotee. So I want to ask if that's right, or if we have the chance also, we are not pure devotees, to call someone else a rascal.
Prabhupada mentioned that in one place. He said, old men and children can get away with that kind of thing. But maybe you shouldn't, he said. He said, I'm an old man. I can speak like this, strongly like this. Nobody will be upset. But he said, maybe you shouldn't. So, we have to learn to present this philosophy in such a way that we tell the truth, but we don't agitate people. This also came up in one case where there was discussion with Prabhupada about book distribution and how some devotees were agitating people. So he said, the book distributors are rascal. He said, you should learn the art of distributing books in such a way that the people are not agitated. Now, in spite of your best efforts, some people may get agitated. That's just the nature of this world. You know, it's just like I was on the promenade once with the Harinam party. And, you know, a lot of people are very happy to see us. They're dancing. But then we went by one restaurant that has outdoor seating. And one old lady, really old, looked like she was practically on her last legs of life. She was so upset. She got up and started yelling and screaming, get out of here! You know, just so upset. And covering her ears. So I told the devotees, don't worry, by the time they cover their ears, it's too late. The mantra went in already. So some people are going to be agitated no matter what you do. But we should still try to learn the art of preaching in such a way that we don't agitate people. And for sure, if you call somebody a rascal and a fool, you know, to their face, they may not take it very kindly. So there are nice ways of calling somebody a rascal and pointing out that they're foolish. Like that famous verse, Dante Nidaya, you know, you take the straw in your teeth and you bow to the person and hey, Sadhavi, you call them a great saintly person. And then by the time they're all buttered up, they ask you, well, what do you want? And he said, well, forget all the nonsense that you've learned and just apply your whatever intelligence you have to understanding the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So that's an indirect way of telling them that they're a fool. Okay? All right, one more.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu.
Prabhu, you said that, you know, Prabhupada disciples, they will go away gradually, they will leave the body.
Not only the Prabhupada disciples, so many grand disciples
everybody.
Left also.
Everybody. But also you said that younger devotees, some of them, they have a lot of feeling, they have feeling like, oh, he's always in front of me. I mean, can you explain? It's not a good feeling to think like that. Well, why is that?
It's just natural. We're not here in this material world because we're saints. We've come to this movement, as Prabhupada said at the end of his purport, this movement can turn you from being a lusty, foolish person into being a saintly person. That's what the movement is meant for. So we come in and we have our bad habits still. It's not that as soon as you put on Kantimala and pick up the chanting beads that you become a pure devotee. We know that. It doesn't happen. It takes a long time. So some of us came in with really big egos, much bigger than others, and it takes time for it to be ground down. And that's why it's so important to live in association with devotees. If you live by yourself, that ego doesn't get worn down. When you live amongst devotees, naturally you're going to get, because, you know, not everybody's going to move out of your way. Some devotees are going to tell you, hey, you know, and you're going to learn. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, once I heard him giving a class, and he said, it's like why are the pebbles in a fast-moving stream? Why are they smooth? Because they rub against each other all the time. So when you're in the association of devotees and you're always rubbing against each other, either you're going to run away or you're going to stay and become smooth. So that's what happens. And having senior devotees, you know, there's a phenomenon in the animal kingdom, in the elephant world. Elephants live pretty long, 60, even 80 years old. So the older bulls, when they get to be like 30, 40, they're very mature and very strong. And they give off a certain scent, a must, that the younger bulls, the teenage bulls, when they smell that, they behave themselves. So when these hunters go and they kill off the older bulls, then the younger ones become so rambunctious, so nasty, that they cause all kinds of trouble. And if they've actually filmed it, these young teenage bulls, they get big and strong, but they don't have any sense, you know. So they go around, they kill even rhinos, big strong rhinos. They just approach them and just stab them with their tusks and kill them unnecessarily. And they just go around and create all kinds of havoc because they don't have the older ones to keep them under control. So it's the same thing in human society. When you have the mature, you know, devotees, both male and female, not just men, they keep the younger ones under control, naturally. But when they're not around, unfortunately, if the younger ones haven't been trained by then, they just cause all kinds of trouble. Okay, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Because you're doing something where you're not. If you were here listening, you would understand.